Glory to God. So we're going to look today and we're going to continue on these few messages that we've done on faith overcomes impossibilities. And I want us to open up this lesson in Romans 14, a familiar scripture verse for many, Romans 14 and verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17 in the King James. And then I want us to look at the Amplified after that. But in the King James, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and what? Joy." Say joy. Joy in what? Not just joy. In the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. So this joy is not a natural joy. It's a heavenly joy. It's a joy in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And so when it talks about the kingdom of God, it says here that the kingdom of God or the domain or the realm of God is righteousness. In the Amplified, we see that. It says, after all, the kingdom of God is not a matter of getting the food and drink, or you could say donuts. You know, some modern translations, I think, say donuts. It says food and donuts. Anyways, but it says not a matter of getting the food or drink one likes. That could be donuts, could be ribs, could be whatever it is you like, right? It's not food and drink, but instead it is righteousness, that state which makes a person acceptable to God, and heart peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is including what? It says it's righteousness, peace, heart peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now let's quick look at Acts 13. Acts 13. And this whole story here that we can see here. This Paul and Barnabas were sharing the word. And it says they riled some things up here. Well, the devil did. But verse 50, it says, and in verse 449, it says, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But verse 50, but the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised what? Persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And what did they do? They expelled them out of their coasts. But what did they do? Did they cry and whine? No, they did this. They shook the dust. What did it say here? It said, shook the dust of their feet against them. That's kind of like a, you know, what are they, that's not a put down, but it's just shaking, you know, you're making a statement. And they came into Iconium, and what does it say? And the disciples were what? Crying. Filled with crying. No, it says they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? So here they face persecution, and then what do? They just shook the dust off their feet, and they went to another city, went to Iconium, and it says the disciples or believers were what? Filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Boy, that ought to tell us something here. Things that we're facing here in life, all the things that are going on, Are we taking that and being filled with joy and the Holy Ghost? Or are we complaining, murmuring, grumbling, I don't know when this is going to get over, right? Or are we looking at it as an opportunity to be filled with joy and the Holy Ghost? It may not feel like joy. It didn't say the disciples felt like being filled with joy. It didn't say they felt like it. It said they were. So that means there was a choice on their part. So isn't this interesting? The New Testament disciples, were, are we reading in the New Testament? It said the New Testament disciples continually stayed full of joy and the Holy Ghost. So let me ask a question. Since we are his disciples, that means we should be continually being staying full of joy and the Holy Ghost. Not so. So you can see what happens. The world, they try to get full of joy by what? Drinking it, smoking it, doing whatever they do to try to get joy. But we have a heavenly joy, and we've got the Holy Ghost in us that we can stay what? Continually full. Full. People say, what's wrong with you? You say, I'm drunk. I'm full of joy. What's wrong with you? You can say, I'm on meds. I'm on medicine. Joy medicine, right? Now, here's a scripture, 2 Thessalonians 1:3. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all toward each other does what? Aboundeth. Well, that means it's increasing, it's growing. So let me ask this question. If faith can grow and charity can grow or love can grow, joy can grow. Joy can grow. If faith can grow and love can grow, so can joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit of the recreated new man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So joy can grow, but it's got to be exercised. It's got to be stirred up, and we don't always do that, do we? That's not usually the first thing we go to. It's after we whine a little bit and we cry, and then we say, and then we decide, well, maybe I ought to laugh at this or have some joy. And it needs to be something that we think about doing. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. So we need to think about when we face issues and things, we need to do what? Just decide to laugh. You know, if you exercise something, it gets easier to exercise it the more you do. I'm glad for your excitement this morning. Proverbs 17. You know, it may be something you hadn't thought about before. I don't know. Proverbs 17 and verse 22, familiar scripture. A merry heart doeth what? Good. Like a what? Like a medicine. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. The New Living Translation says, a cheerful heart is what? Good medicine, but I like this, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. What does that mean? All that stuff. A broken spirit, that means a heavy heart. It saps your strength. But joy, the joy of the Lord, is my strength. It doesn't sap my strength. It is my strength. So this is why it's important. We need to stir up the joy of God in us. Hallelujah. Now let's jump over to 2 Corinthians 4:13. And want to look here at this, and then we've been looking at this particular scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, in the King James, or we can look at it, that's all right, we'll look at it in the Passion. They have it up. It says, we having the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then we speak in faith. So we believe, and then what? Therefore, speak in faith. And many ministers, and it's true, your association around someone. You know, when I was sharing a few weeks ago, you know, when we talk about, you know, in team sports, they talk about a team spirit. Well, there's principles that you learn in a sport, but beyond those principles, we all come in, there needs to be a camaraderie, there needs to be a team spirit to achieve an objective, right? And I see somebody over there that used to play professional ball. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Don't hang your head. You know what team spirit is. There's a team spirit. If there's a team spirit, sometimes you can say, well, they just don't have it together today. Sometimes they could be tired. They could be have injuries. But sometimes it's something going on in their head, and they just don't have it all. They're not all clicking together. There's a team spirit. Well, the same thing can happen through association. So when you associate around ministers and a setting where there's a spirit of faith, that gets in your heart. And so we can, as I said, the spirit of faith is not necessarily taught, it's caught. What does that mean? Through association. So when we get the spirit of faith, there's nothing impossible. You will march through and over. So let's look at James. I want to look at this and pick up where we were last time. James chapter 1 and verse 2 through 4 in the King James, and then we'll look at the New Living. But James chapter 1 and verse 1, verse 2 through 4, we looked at faith working patience. But I want to look at this here, talking about the joy of the Lord. In the King James, it says here, my brethren, do what? Count it all joy. Boy, right up front. Count it all joy when you fall into, or that word fall into means surrounded by. That's exactly what that means. When you're surrounded by different temptations, or that word temptations means adversity. So when you're surrounded by adversity, this says what? Count it all joy. That word count means to think or to consider. I'm considering it joy. Didn't say it was, but it says I've got to consider it joy that I'm being confronted with this adversity. And it's the strength of God for me. Amen. But then it goes on and it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Or that word patience is endurance. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now let's look at this same scriptures, these scriptures in the New Living Translation. James 1, if you have it, you can watch it on, look at it on the screen. But James 1, 2 through 4, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, do what? Count it. This says, consider it. That's what that word is. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Hallelujah. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Hallelujah. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. But I got to start right there. It says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. So when you're surrounded by adversity, Could be family, it could be marriage, it could be job, it could be finance. When you're surrounded by all of this adversity and it's pressing, that's the time to consider it an opportunity for great joy. You know, let me read some of these other translations here. This is the Berkeley. It says, consider it maximum joy. Oh yeah, I like that. Consider it not just an opportunity for great joy, consider it maximum joy. And then this is the Weiss translation. It says, be constantly rejoicing, constantly rejoicing. And I like this. It says, consider it a matter for unadulterated joy. What's unadulterated? That means it's not watered down with any other stuff. It's unadulterated joy. I like this. And then it says, without any admixture of sorrow. So we're not mixing any sorrow in it. It's maximum joy. It's not adulterated with anything. It's unadulterated. It's maximum joy. And it's so the new International Version says it similar in James 1:2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Hallelujah. How are we supposed to face it? With joy. Because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's righteousness, joy, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So when stuff starts flooding your mind, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? What? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin to laugh. I'm going to begin to count it all joy. I'm going to begin to consider it what? An opportunity to laugh and have some joy. Hallelujah. Stir up that inner man. Stir up the joy of God in you. Hallelujah. Stir it up. Just laugh at the devil. What are you laughing at? I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing because I'm an overcomer and I'm going through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 in the Amplified. I'll tell you, this is, you know, sometimes you got to work at getting the first laugh out. You know, if you're exercising, you know, what do? You just go, You may have to, that might be about all you can get out. But, you know, I did that. I've done that. You just start laughing, get the best you can out. And keep doing it. I did that, you know, in one particular instance. I began to laugh like that, and I did that for about 15, 20 minutes. Just sad laugh. You know what I'm talking about. I just forced a laugh. And it began to stir down here, this inner man. It began to stir, and then what happened? I got a little more of a laugh. I went, ha, ha, ha. I did that for a few more minutes, and then it began to stir more and more till I got to a full Holy Ghost laugh. But it didn't start there. I had to take a step of faith and say, I'm going to just step out here. It doesn't feel like joy, doesn't look like joy, doesn't smell like joy, but I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh at it because it's my strength. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And let's look at these first 8 verses here. This is the Amplified Classic. It says, praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, listen to verse 5. Oh man, this got me shouting here. What does it say? Who are being guarded. Oh yes. Did you know you're being guarded? You got a security team. You're being guarded, garrisoned by God's power. Through what? Your faith. Till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. What does verse 6 say? you should be exceedingly glad on this account. What? That I'm being garrisoned about. I'm being protected. He said, you should be exceeding glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested, your faith which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. Look at verse 8. Oh man, this is great. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you do what? You believe in him and exult and thrill with what? Inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. Woo! Glory to God. Isn't that good? That's so good. Let's read it again. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him. And exult and do what? Thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. Glory to God. So when we are faced with things, we don't see him, but we know he's there. He's doing what? Who being guarded and garrisoned about by God's power through your faith. Hallelujah. So we're being garrisoned about. Even when we walk through these issues and trials, my faith in him has caused his power to protect me, garrison me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I have inexpressible heavenly joy. I'm walking through. I'm garrisoned about. I'm protected by his power. That's why we can laugh. Why can we laugh? The devil's defeated. The greater one is protecting me. He's watching over me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. He's going to make a lot of noise. He's going to make it look like nothing will ever change. Nothing will ever turn out. We're protected by God. We're garrisoned about by him. He can't touch me. He can't touch my stuff. He can't. He's defeated. And that gives me great joy. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. On the devil. Glory to God. I'm a winner. We're coming from a place of victory, not a place of defeat. Glory to God. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been translated into his kingdom. Oh my goodness. Glory to God. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. I tell you this week, just laugh at the devil. It says, what does it do? It says, count it maximum joy when you're surrounded by adversity and stuff going on. Count it joy. Laugh at the devil. Say, God's fulfilling. He's filling my bank accounts. He's filling me with strength. He's filling me with healing in my body. I am strong in the Lord and in what? The power of his might. Glory to God. See, this is here. The devil doesn't. He wants us to focus on the problem. He wants us to focus on the distraction. And God is saying, when you're surrounded, have joy. Stir up this heavenly joy that's in us. Stir it up. Begin to exercise it. And the more you do, the easier it'll become. That'll be the first thing you do when you see, ha, ha, ha. That's, he's defeated. He's defeated. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 on the devil. Ha, ha, ha. I count it all joy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at this in the... This is a heavenly joy. This is not a natural joy. We've got heaven on the inside. We've got a heavenly joy on the inside. This same verse in verse 8, in the New International Version, 1 Peter 1:8. In the New International, it says, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Let's put up the Passion Translation. It says, you love him passionately, although you did not see him. But through believing in him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory. Oh, see, we not only have joy, we're immersed in glory. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's why when it says that in the Amplified, it says, exult, thrill with inexpressible and glorious joy. This joy is full of glory. So when we stir up joy, it's stirring up the glory that's in us. This hidden glory that's in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Or the Amplified says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you that was in Christ, full of joy. So when we are surrounded, count it all joy. Determine that I'm going to laugh. I'm going to do what? I'm going to do just what 2 Corinthians 4 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Speak and begin to release and stir up the joy of God that's in you. It's already there. It's already there. What's the first fruit of the Spirit that's in Galatians 5:22, what is it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. What's that first fruit? Love and joy. So let's stir up the love, let's stir up the joy in us. And I'll tell you, we'll walk through this. And people, this is something when you think about this, when you read Matthew 24, when Jesus talked about the end of the age, he talking about people just losing their marbles, losing their minds, and the love of many is waxed cold. This is the time that we can shine with the love of God and the joy. The joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Count it all joy. Consider it maximum joy when you're, or in the New Living, it says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. But I don't feel like it. It said, consider it. That means you have to make a choice. You can whine, or you can decide to stir up the joy of God in you. You know, one thing I realized is that when you stir up this heavenly joy, it causes your spirit man to be more sensitive to the things of God. I experienced that. When you begin to laugh and you begin to stir up this inner man, you're more sensitive to hear him. You're more sensitive to be led. You're more sensitive to hear the still small voice of your own spirit, influenced by the Spirit of God. So count it all joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this week, when you're facing things that aren't comfortable, get your laugh on. Stir up the joy of God that's in you. Glory to God. Begin to make a choice. You know, when you start to exercise something, it's a little uncomfortable at first, isn't it? Or strange. But the more you do it, it'll become more easy for you. Just begin to go right to it. I'm teaching myself. Hey, we all have to learn this. Stuff comes and you're like, boom, 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 boom. And you're like, no, 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 no. Consider it. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this word that's gone forth. Thank you, Father, that we determine to be a light in this earth, not only a salt in this earth, but light, and be and do it with joy, heavenly joy. And we thank you for it, Father. And Father, that those that may be watching online and those that are with us that haven't experienced this inner man, this change of heart, we thank you, Father, that you've provided that through Jesus. And if you're here today or you're watching online and you've never asked Jesus to come in your heart, but you want a change. You want a change of heart. You want a change in your destiny. You want a change that will help you overcome. Then here's your answer, that you begin to believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Savior, and that he did what? He came and he bore our sins and took them to hell, and on the third day rose again. You believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. You believe that in your heart. You confess that with your mouth, and the scripture says you shall be saved. So let's say this. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son to this earth, and I believe that he came to take our sins. And he did that, and he took them to hell. And I believe he took my sins and the sins of the whole world. And when sin was paid for, he was raised from the dead. I believe that. And I believe that he took, and he, because I've decreed that, I am saved. And I ask you, Father, to cleanse me with your blood, make something new of me, change my heart, and I believe that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer and you believed it in your heart and said that with your mouth, then you have become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us know. Contact us. And let us know that you've become a new person in Christ, and we'll send some literature out to you as to who you've become. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got a little something out of that reminding. It's more of a reminder. Remind us that when we're facing adversity in life, and we're all going to face it in varying degrees, that it's a time to do what? Count it. Consider it an opportunity for maximum or great joy. Glory to God.